hasn't been good. I was so bored by Friday night, I didn't know what to do with myself. I'm so not used to having so much time at home. I thought, oh, wow, this is unusual. My house is really clean, though. But today, we celebrate. And before I knew anything about Jesus, when I grew up in a Catholic church, as most of you know, and I knew the story of Easter. I knew it. It was an out there thing that was all very hard to believe. I believed God was real. But every time anyone spoke to me about the cross, every time anyone spoke about sin, I would feel so bad. I would feel so guilty. And I would not draw close to God. I would draw away in shame. And it wasn't until I came to a real revelation, a real understanding, a real aha, one of those light bulb moments of what the cross was really about, of how much Jesus loved me. It wasn't until then that I understood the cross. So today, I want you to be set free. If you are someone that is beaten by the cross, if the whole concept of the whole Jesus story seems like just religious nonsense to you, my prayer is that you be set free from that today, because it's real and it's true. And people who know that come into a life that they didn't even know they could have. Do you know, today I want to share with you something. Jesus' resurrection is a fact. Did you know that? It's a proven fact. Jesus died. He was on the cross. He died. He was in a tomb for 3 days. And he rose again. It's proven fact. It's not a story. It's fact. I want to share with you about a man who decided to go on a little journey to prove that it was not a fact. His name was Lionel Lacu. Now, he is the most successful defence attorney in the world. You may not have ever heard of him, but he succeeded in getting 245 successive murder charge acquittals by January 1st, 1985. That's 245 in a row. Cases won. That is phenomenal. You would think, okay, this guy's pretty smart. I'd want him as my attorney. Put my hand up. Yes, please. Want the guy that wins. And you must ask yourself, why did he win? Why did he win so many cases? Did he just pick the good ones? I don't think so. But he knew his work. He knew how to investigate. He knew how to pick holes in what seemed to be an airtight case. Now, this guy was a confirmed atheist, didn't believe in God, thought it was all nonsense, and he was actually a bit fed up with all the Christians who kept pulling out this stuff every year, telling people all this nonsense. So he set out to disprove it. And along the way, he actually used those tremendous analytical skills of his. And the more he studied, the more he discovered, the more facts he found that proved that Jesus died on the cross, was in the grave for 3 days, rose again. Until he came to the obvious logical conclusion and gave his life to Christ. Now, this was a man who knew how to pick apart evidence. But the evidence proved to him that Jesus died on the cross, was in the grave for 3 days, and rose again. I think that's fairly significant. Do you not think that's significant? I think that is just incredible. Now, the significant part is not that Jesus died on the cross. That was pretty cool. He died on the cross, he took our sin, he took our shame, he took all of that stuff, all the stuff that is horrible in humanity, went to the cross, it was dealt with. But that was not the miracle. That did not prove anything to the world. There were two other people who died on the cross next to him that day. Dying on the cross was not significant, but rising again was. the resurrection was. And the resurrection is what we base our faith on. Not that Jesus died on the cross. Other people did that. Not even that he brought healing to people. Other people have done that too. Doctors do it all the time. But no one has been in the grave for 3 days and risen again. He is who he said he is. That's what he said he'd do. Pretty cool. I want to tell you what Lionel Luckey said. When he turned his expertise to the question of whether the resurrection of Jesus Christ fits the test of legal evidence, here's the conclusion he ultimately reached. I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. Absolutely no room for doubt. That's fairly encouraging. Our everyday experience tells us pigs don't talk, even though the movie Babe would like us to believe that they do. It tells us that Santa Claus doesn't slide down chimneys. Kids, oh, cover your ears. Sorry to disappoint you. It also tells us that dead people don't spring back to life. True? But somehow, some way, something happened. If you've got a Bible here, let's have a look. Because it wasn't Jesus' death that convinced Luckey. It was his life. It was the fact that he came back to life. So let's have a look at the story. I'm reading for the Message Bible. We're going to start in Matthew 27. If you don't have a Bible, that's going to be up on the PowerPoint in a moment. It's there. It says, after the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. The angel spoke to the women. There's nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised just as he said. That's a fairly exciting piece of scripture. He was raised, just as he said. He said he was going to be. No one believed him. They even posted guards at the tomb because they thought that Jesus' followers were going to come and roll the stone away, steal the body and pretend that he'd raised from the dead. But the guards were there when that happened and they were astonished. He was raised, just as he said. I used to think that celebrating Easter was weird. Celebrating someone's death, that's like anti everything we do. We don't celebrate when someone's died, we mourn, right? I never got it because I never understood that the celebration is not that Jesus died. The celebration is that Jesus rose again. The celebration is the resurrection. The celebration is the hope. The celebration is life. The wonder of Jesus is not that he died for us. We all die. The wonder of Jesus is that he lived for us. He rose again. In early church history, resurrection was what was preached. Now, we've seen a whole lot of different themes come through churches, if you will. There was the time of hellfire preaching where they get up there and they'd say, if you don't turn, you'll burn, and all that sort of stuff. But in the very early church, they preached the one thing that they knew to be true, that Jesus died and rose again. And it was the resurrection that changed people's lives. It was the resurrection. It was coming to the understanding that Jesus is alive, not dead, that set people free. Pretty big claim. But throughout history, so many people have tried to prove it wrong and have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus instead. There's a guy who's an investigative journalist with the New York Times, and he's written books on it. There's one called The Case for Christ, where he got really mad. He got really fed up with all these do-gooder Christians, all these liars he thought they were. And he said, you know what? I'm going to use every skill at my disposal, and I'm going to show the world that the Christians are wrong. And he spent years. He went and he read the Dead Sea Scrolls. He went over to Israel. He went everywhere. He set his heart upon proving that Christians were nothing but a bunch of liars, phonies, frauds. And the more he discovered, the more proof he found that Jesus is real. He died on the cross and he rose again. Till he again came to a stage where he thought, they're right. And he gave his life to Jesus. There's book after book after book written by people who are the top of their field, all of whom have tried to prove that Jesus did not do what he said he did. But the truth is, he's risen. He's not dead. He's risen. There's a whole lot of other gods. There's a whole lot of other religions. And you can go and you can find them and you can go on a spiritual journey. But Jesus is the only God who's still alive. You can go searching for Buddha. I did. I used to have this big thing. I used to worship in front of and say all this stupid stuff and try and empty my mind. I did the Buddhism thing for a while. But guess what? Buddha's dead. I researched Judaism for a while. But Judaism was great, except that it only takes you so far. Because Jews that don't believe in Jesus stop at the cross. And the cross is what changes people's lives. I got into, heaps of different stuff. But everything I looked at, the founder, the deity, was dead. But Jesus is alive. You know, the Reverend Moon, remember the Moonies? The Moonie sect? Guess what? He's dead. Joseph Smith, he's dead. Mary Baker Eddy, she's dead. Ron L. Hubbard, he's dead. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. But Jesus is alive. I don't know about you, but I'd rather worship someone who's alive than some poor old dead guy. Someone who's alive can actually make a difference in my life. Someone who's dead can't. They might have great teaching. Might have good ideas. But if they're not alive, they're not going to change your life. The good news was the resurrection. The good news wasn't that Jesus went around healing people. The good news was that Jesus died on the cross, was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose again. The good news is that Jesus is alive. That's the only thing that differentiates people who love Jesus from every other religion in the world. It's very quiet here today. It's all right, you can have fun. You can clap and cheer and say, whoo, that's pretty good. So we're going to get that other video ready. I want to talk to you about defining moments. You see, the defining moment, the major defining moment in Jesus' life was the resurrection. Why? Because it was the only thing that was different from any other person. Jesus had many defining moments. Just keep that still for a minute. Jesus had many defining moments. When you think about the defining moments in Jesus' life, he was born to a virgin. He turned water into wine. He went around healing people. He sat with sinners. Oh, that was a big one. He did things no one expected him to do. But you know what? Other people have done nearly all of that, apart from the water of wine that I know of. But no one is alive. No one is alive. So what are your defining moments? I look through my life and I see I had quite a few defining moments, some good, some bad. But the one defining moment that totally transformed my life was coming to an understanding that Jesus is alive. That's the only one that matters. It doesn't matter that I grew up in an abusive home. It doesn't matter that I ran away at 16 because I couldn't live there anymore. It was so unsafe. I woke up one day, I really thought, today's the day I'm going to die if I don't run. It didn't matter that I was abused throughout my childhood. It didn't matter that I went into terrible relationships. None of that mattered when I hit the foot of the cross and realised Jesus is alive. None of it matters anymore. And no matter what you have in your past, you come to that moment, that defining moment, where you realise Jesus is alive. And your past is no longer your future. Hope is your future. Destiny is your future. It's awesome. Best way to live. I was on the road to death. Willingly. But I'm not anymore. Because I met with someone who's not dead. I met with someone who's alive. Let's have a look at that. I don't owe him anything. But when he did that, he did it for a reason. He didn't just do it so that we could just run around and keep ruining our lives. He did it so that we could be set free. He did it so that we could live the lives he created us to live. He did it so that we could come into the great life he planned for us. The resurrection is what today is all about. It's about life. It's about hope. It's about healing. It's about truth. The resurrection shouts that you're special to God. You were worth redeeming. He died for your sin and he rose again to prove that his sacrifice in the cross wasn't in vain. The resurrection's an invitation to you, to every single person, every single human ever born, ever to be born, to receive what Christ prepared for you. His offer of eternal life is a gift that must be received. The whole cross do. The whole thing. The whole cross in the grave for 3 days. Resurrected was this enormous gift that Jesus gave you to save your life. So my question today is, what have you done with your invitation? What have you done with the gift? Because throughout humanity, that question is going to echo. When Mary and Mary went into the tomb, they said, "Where is he? What have you done with him?" That's my question to you today. What have you done with him? Because if you haven't received him, you haven't opened the gift. If you haven't made a decision to step into what he's given you, then it's a gift that's totally wasted. How about everyone bow your heads and close your eyes? Every single person here is precious to God. Every single one. Don't worry about what the person next to you is doing. Please give each other privacy. This is a really important time. You've heard today that Jesus died on the cross for you. Not to make you feel bad, not to make you feel guilty, but to show you how much he loves you. You've heard that there is so much proof, there's more proof that Jesus is alive, that Jesus did what he said he did, that he rose again. There's more proof of that than there is that Napoleon Bonaparte ever lived. It's not just a story. It's the truth. And no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're headed, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much, he died on the cross for you. He loves you so much, he made a way for you. And the one thing I had to hear before I could surrender myself to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, was that I didn't have to fix myself up. I didn't have to become somebody to become a Christian. This isn't about becoming a Christian. This is about accepting the gift of God for your life. So we're all going to pray together. And I'm going to ask you, if you've never prayed this before, to pray it from your heart. Because Jesus is alive. The Holy Spirit's here. And he wants to touch your life. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, I ask that you come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Saviour. I have stuffed up badly in so many ways. I do the wrong thing, even when I try to do the right thing. So Jesus, today, I ask that you forgive me of my sin. I ask that you wash me clean and give me a brand new start. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to understand who you are. So please reveal yourself to me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, for every person who's prayed that for the first time, I just pray that you'll seal that decision in their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will just move so bountifully upon their life. You know, if that's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer and you'd like someone to chat to, we have a great team of people here. If you'd like to come and chat to me after the service, Leanne and Maylee, you can put your hands up. And Ben, if any of these guys, you can come and have a chat too, and they'll talk to you a bit more about it. Obviously, you can't get all the information you need in an Easter service. But if something that I've said has touched your heart today, please don't just walk out the door and put it aside. Do something with it. Because Jesus is real. He is alive. He is risen. Amen? Can we have the music team back up, please? We're going to finish up the service now. Don't forget there's 10 coffee, heaps of hot cross buns left still. So stay, get to know someone, have some fun. Happy Easter.